the man of sin who opposeth, who sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and he will oppose himself against everything that is called God, and he will have to destroy that system first. And the false prophet will be with him in that, no question. Not with the church. And then they will be taken together, and in the 20th verse of the 10th verse of the 20th chapter, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will still be there. All right. Wait, I think I'm finding it now. What lesson was it? 90th. Oh, what does this end? Go back to the other question. John sees the angel standing in the sun and calling to the fowls to come and eat. And what is the meaning? Well, naturally, there's going to be a great slaughter, and they're going to gorge themselves. Well, what will this end? It will naturally end that battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And that will really be the ending of a number of things, but evidently the questioner had that in mind. What did you want to ask? It never states that the false prophet will be with the apostate church. He performs his miracles in the presence of the beast. If he's of the apostate church early, he switches. Some people know which side of the fence to get off on. And he will be a religious man, but he will push the claims of the beast. That seems evident. Not the claims of God. All right, to the 20th chapter. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, a key usually speaks of authority to do certain things and go certain places. In the first chapter, Christ is said to have the keys of hell and of death. In the 9th chapter, Satan is given a key to open the bottomless pit, but here Christ has the key, or the angel has the key, and I believe it to be Christ. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Satan could look back to the time when he tried to bring about his death, when Herod slew the infants, and when he tempted him in the wilderness and was defeated. He was afraid of that man, and now he's seized by him, arrested, and cast into the bottomless pit, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Back in 12:12, he's angry because he has but a little time. Here he's going to be released for a little season. And then John said, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. I can't find an antecedent for the word they. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now I want you to notice that the word 1,000 years occurs 6 times here, once in the 2nd verse, once in the 3rd verse, and we just read it in the 4th verse. It occurs again in the 5th verse, and then again in the 6th verse, and still again in the 7th verse. And this is the only place in the Bible where the length or the duration of that age will be. I started to say the millennial age will be. The word millennium or millennial doesn't occur in the Bible, as the word rapture doesn't occur in the Bible. The word mill is 1,000, and annum or anna is we use our word annual as a form of the same word, 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And the first resurrection began with Christ. Corinthians 15 says he's the first fruits of them that slept. And James says that we would be a kind of a first fruit to his creatures. The 144,000 will be first fruits in a certain realm. But the first fruits of the resurrection seem to have been Christ, and immediately those who were raised from the dead after his resurrection. And it's like a crop. I grew up on the farm. We didn't plant everything at the same time. We planted corn and potatoes a long ways ahead of some other things that we planted. And peas are planted early, lettuce usually, onions are put out reasonably early, but then other things you have to wait until all danger of any kind of a frost is past. Well, the resurrection will be in this sense. Jesus was raised from the dead. There will be some raised from the dead when he comes. Paul was struggling for an out resurrection, and the two witnesses will be raised from the dead. The beast overcomers that are killed will be raised from the dead. Daniel 12 says, at that time, thy people that sleep in the dust shall be delivered. There's a group resurrected from Israel. This is all one resurrection. Just like, well, around our part of the country, people are beginning to plant things, but it's all one crop. And so there is one resurrection for the righteous. There will be a resurrection 1,000 years later of the wicked dead. Then when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now if you'll turn with me quickly to the 18th chapter of the book of Psalms, I'm going to read you some verses that let us know that in the millennial age, there will be some pretended yielding. The 44th verse says, as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. And the revised version margin, and I checked it in some other versions, says they will yield a feigned obedience, a pretended obedience. And then in Psalm 66:3, there is another statement on this same line. I'll wait long enough until you can find it. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Again, yield a feigned obedience. A new minister used to call that word feigned, finged. You remember the unfeigned faith of the brethren? He'd say the unfinged faith of the brethren. I don't know why somebody didn't tell him. If I make a mistake grammatically, now anybody may have a slip out, but if I'm making a mistake grammatically, I hope somebody will tell me. The word, the same thought is in the 81st Psalm and the 15th verse. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. This submitted themselves unto him is to yield a feigned, a pretended obedience. And let's think of that age when righteousness will rule the earth. The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Somebody told me about a woman in Denver that's had a revelation. It belongs to her only. She's going to be the instrument that God uses to cover the earth with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When I hear something like that, I smile. There is a deceiver. And seemingly, well, there will be no outward acts, no overt acts of disobedience allowed. Everything that's contrary to God will be held down. But it doesn't mean that every heart will be changed. After all, among the 12, there was a Judas. When Satan is loosed, he will provide a leadership for these hearts that have yielded a pretended obedience, and they will readily swing to his banner. I feel that God releases him just to make them manifest themselves. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now don't confuse the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel, which comes before Christ takes charge of the earth, and this Gog and Magog that comes afterwards, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He will have a vast multitude. There will be no war. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In the next chapter, we'll read of another city that's called a great city, the Holy Jerusalem, but that will come out of heaven. This we're reading about here will be an earthly scene. And as I stated, there will be no battle, just fire come down from God out of heaven. And the beast that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This will be his final demise as far as activity is concerned. And I have heard it said that when God locks this door, he's going to throw the key away. Yeah, you remember Dante's Inferno, all ye that enter here forsake hope. That is supposedly written on the door. Forsake hope, all ye that enter here. What a thing. Here men so often commit suicide to get out of their misery. There can be nothing like that there. There will never be an escape. There won't be a lamb to die for them. And think of men, wicked angels and wicked men, all jumbled together. I knew a family, I won't tell the details, but one of the uncles of the mother told me about it. A boy thought he'd drain 5 gallons of kerosene from a barrel to start a fire with. We used to start a fire with kerosene in wooden stoves. He drained gasoline. And when he put a match to it, why, he had a conflagration. And he said the mother jumped up, the father jumped up, and they just rolled and burned together. A horrible thought. The father died. I'm not sure. Seems to me like the boy died. The mother lived. Well, can you imagine what it will be like? There can't be any sitting down plotting. I'll tell you what let's do to get out of here. I'll tell you what let's do to relieve the situation. How do you suppose people will feel toward the devil at that time? David said, I hate them, speaking of his enemies, with a perfect hatred. How high hatred will rise, and how people... You remember Benito Mussolini, after the war, they hung him upside down in a filling station after having shot him. They had turned on him with an intense hatred and a fury. Then we come to the most awe-inspiring scene to me in the entire Bible. In Matthew 25, there is a judgment of living nations, but among those, there are those that are spared. In the judgment of the woman of Revelation 17, there is a come out of her, my people. But here, there will be such men as Cain, as the wicked nations of Canaan, as men of our own time, Adolf Hitler, I suppose Alexander the Great, Nebuchadnezzar was possibly saved. I do not know. But those that lived in his time, those that had Daniel thrown in the fiery furnace, they will be here. Those that you testified to and they rejected your testimony will be here. You might be here, but if so, you will be on the same side of the throne he's on. You won't be before the throne. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. What a scene. Standing out there, you might say, in midair, nothing to stand on. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, it doesn't say that their destiny will be settled by their works, but they will be judged according to their works. I talked to a man the other day, walked in a business place, he was there, and he cursed so strongly that I turned and walked off. The next week, I preached his funeral. I have hopes for some people. I'll tell you why. In Mayo's hospital, they tell you don't have to tell anybody when he's going to die. He knows it. They actually tell him that. I knew a family that took the father and husband there, and they said we don't have to tell him that he has terminal cancer. He will know it. And his wife wouldn't tell him, and she said we went home and he just started getting everything ready because he knew he was going to die. And I made the statement, I hope that there was a contact between his soul and God in the hour of death. But anyway, they will be there. And I have seen, I saw on television, a vast audience once. I was driving through St. Louis one time and we were on a high peak in the highway, and you could look down in a gathering to a large football game. They had a great mass of people. My brother had his television on one time in a football game. There were over 100,000 in the stadium, but you realize that's just a handful of people. You know, if I were to come here and draw 50,000 people to a revival meeting, it would be hailed clear across the nation. Everybody would hear about it. Do you realize that's just a drop in the bucket? You realize what a small percentage that would be, even of Kansas City. Greater Kansas City is probably, Kansas City itself is around 500 and some thousand people, but that doesn't include all the little suburbs around. Well, can you imagine people as far as your eye could see spread out before you? Hard to realize, isn't it? They say now that there are approximately, well, I believe between 3 and 4 billion people in the world today. And think how many millions and billions have died in generations past, in the thousands of years, and most of them have died unsaved. Broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For here is this solemn scene, And I do not need to tell you that the scripture teaches that it will be forever. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Now death holds the body. Hell holds the immaterial part of man, that is the spirit and the soul. Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. And I'll read this awful statement. I'm running over just a little bit, but I want to read from Luke 9, the last part of the chapter. It's also in Matthew 25. These will go away into everlasting punishment. The 42nd verse of Luke 9. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And I'll read the 43rd verse of Luke 9. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off, and it is better for thee to enter into life maimed. Now this means an inward cutting off, not a literal. It means judging the old man. Then having two hands to be cast into hell. Now notice this, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now what shall I say? Oh, it'll be quenched someday. Will it? The lips that never could speak an untruth uttered this. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Oh, well, the worm will die and the fire will be quenched, but will it? And then the same expression in the latter part of verse 45, the 46th verse, and the hell fire in the 47th verse, and then its duration, their torment ascendeth up forever and ever in Revelation, as the smoke of their torment ascendeth up. Then in Matthew 25, these statements, the 41st verse, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then the 46th verse, these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.